Well, you ready to chat today?
Let's chat. What do you have in mind for today?
It's a bit heavier.
Okay.
And I want to talk about divorce.
Okay.
So I actually, this is part one.
Okay.
Of what I think will be a three-part series. And just talking about the before, the middle, and the after. How to support yourself, how to seek support, and how you could benefit from therapy while you're going through the process of getting divorced.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, when we're talking about mental health and such, I mean, there's just going to be stuff that it's going to be a little weightier at times. So happy to engage in this one.
Welcome to the With Counseling Podcast. I'm JJ Blandford, founder and therapist at With Counseling. So part of the reason that I think this is important is it's a sizable part of the work that I do.
Yeah.
And I don't think people talk about the process. And so I guess all the caveats, right? Like, yeah. I am a person who is married and has not been divorced. And so this is just my experience of walking with lots and lots and lots of people through this journey.
Sure.
So that is my caveat.
It's a good caveat.
And I think part of what is hard about the beginning place of divorce is when people come to therapy, they may not know that they're at the beginning of getting divorced.
Okay. That's interesting. Can you unpack that for us?
Just waiting for you to ask.
Perfect.
So a lot of times people will start to see me individually. I also don't do couples work anymore. I only see individuals. And so they will come because there's some relationship strain.
Sure.
And sometimes it's really hard to talk about your relationship strain with the people in your circles, because you don't want your partner to be seen in a way, or other people to have a negative connotation about who they are. And so you are maybe more privately struggling with some of the dynamics happening in your relationship.
Okay. So what you're saying is that a lot of times when people are, you know, struggling, they tend to isolate themselves from their support systems.
Yes.
Because they don't want to damage the reputation of the, because usually it's couple friends, right? And right. If you start talking about what's going on, then, you know, to other couples, then it can strain those relationships. It can cause a lot of fallout in a lot of places.
Cause family strain. Yeah.
Okay.
And I also do want to be clear. There are people who are like, my partner sucks and I'll tell anyone about it and burn the whole thing down.
A different unhealthy.
Yes. And a different type of isolation. Yeah. Like, you are isolating that partner because you tell everybody y'all's business.
Yeah.
But it's a different avenue. And so sometimes, but people's language can often be tending to, I don't know if I can keep going like this.
Right.
I don't know that I can stay in a marriage that functions in this way. And so I would never be like, oh, are you considering divorce? Not my place or my role. And it's always an indicator to me that there is some thought of, what if this relationship doesn't make it?
Right.
So a lot of people who are coming with the primary of relationship strain, there's a hopefulness of, like, an acknowledgement, I'm bringing something to this relationship as well. Could I make behavioral changes? Could I shift the pattern so that some of this relationship strain shifts?
Yeah. Okay. So people are coming to you seeing if it's a them thing. Like, if there are things that they can do proactively to kind of help with the relationship.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
And sometimes that work is effective, right? If you've never set boundaries or named expectations, and we are able to do that work, sometimes that does bring the health that you're hoping in a relationship. Well,
and are there instances where when one person in a relationship gets healthy, it kind of healthifies. I don't know if that's a word. It's definitely not. But it helps the other person sort of like get healthy too.
I mean, sometimes, okay. Sometimes people see a partner choosing healthier behaviors and they seek their own counseling.
Makes sense.
You know, and so as a couple, both parties are choosing health and growth and those sorts of things. Sure. And so that is definitely sometimes an outcome of therapy.
Yeah.
There are, I also think until I really started doing this work and walking with people through the nitty gritty of it, how I envisioned divorce, I guess, for lack of a better term, is that there was like a singular event or that it was a short process, really.
Yeah. The decision's made pretty quickly.
And then the process is done. Yeah. And what I've learned is the process is so much slower than anyone anticipates in all the phases. And I think that's actually really good.
Yeah.
I think it's good that people aren't making flippant, life-altering decisions.
Yeah. Right.
And sometimes what the work really is, or what I'm thinking about as the clinician, is I'm walking with someone on like two parallel plans, right? We are doing their personal work for their own health that we are hopeful leads to relationship change.
Yeah. So even if divorce hasn't really come up in the conversation per se, right? There's a path that like kind of leads to health and like a growing relationship. And there's a path that leads to this is maybe unreconcilable and divorce needs to happen. Right.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yes.
And maybe you don't even, haven't even thought about those two divergent paths, right? When
right.
you're like engaging in therapy, you're just trying to get a relationship healthy or see what you can do.
Yeah? Yes.
Okay.
And so for me, I'm also not, I want to be clear, when people are showing up with relationship stress that I'm not like, okay, well, here we go. It's either healthy or divorce.
For sure.
You know, sometimes my work is helping people, like divorce doesn't feel like an option for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
And so how will you continue to function in health in this relationship?
Yeah.
And so often people are kind of walking this path with two, knowing that there are two different outcomes. And so often it's giving, to me, the before work is giving people a place to process. Sometimes it's naming, I don't think this is a normal relationship dynamic, whatever normal may be.
Yeah.
And they're looking,
or at least a healthy one, right?
Yes.
Maybe not nor, maybe there isn't a normal, but like a healthy
yes.
way of interacting, right?
And so I think people come wanting me to say, yes, this is okay. No, that's not okay.
Right.
Which again is not my role. It's to provide you the space to make a choice that you are going to be comfortable with moving forward.
Yeah.
And again, it can be a really long process. I have worked with people for years and they've needed years to get to a decision that they are comfortable with and can move forward with.
Mm.
And I think I want to normalize that sometimes therapeutic work, as we've talked about lots of times on this podcast, takes a lot of time.
Right.
And when this is something that will be disruptive to not only your life, but the lives of, you know, potentially children or other people, how are you being intentional with the decision that you're making?
Yeah. And that's something that really is best done through the through therapeutic work. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Because hopefully you are meeting with a therapist who is unbiased.
Okay.
Like if you are going to your mom, to your best friend, to your circle,
mm-hmm.
they're probably
they're on your side.
Going to tell you yeah. what you want to hear.
Right.
Sometimes in therapy, my role is to say, like, you were out of line.
Mm-hmm.
You need to seek repair. And it's helping someone realize maybe even the narrative that they're writing about their relationship is super biased and makes them look awesome.
Yeah.
And makes a partner look less awesome.
Right.
And so again, in this beginning work, we're exploring a depth of relationship. We are exploring behavioral patterns. We are exploring like a lot of what is going on in a relationship so that my clients can make a choice that they will feel confident in the future.
Yeah. I'm thinking it makes me kind of think about the parenting conversation that we've had a few times, which is that we come into parenting a lot of times and we just do whatever we've seen modeled for us. My dad did it this way. My mom did it this way, you know? And so we like sort of carry it on because we don't really know anything else. And many of us enter relationships, a marriage relationship, not really having modeled what healthy relationship looks like, yes. Right? So we just keep doing it the way we saw it done. And if there was a lot of strife in the household, maybe that's an expectation, you know, that you have. And like, you don't know that the ways that you're, the patterns that you've set up because of your family of origin culture are negative. And so having somebody else kind of shine a light on that, like, hey, these are not healthy patterns. How do we go about mm-hmm. is like, how that's done, right? You need somebody outside to help model that for you, right?
Yes. And again, I think so much of this needs to be done with a licensed therapist.
Yeah.
Someone who can kind of gently shine the light on this behavioral pattern isn't okay.
Right.
What role do you play in this behavioral pattern? Right? And then that can lead to, okay, I'm doing the work, I'm making changes, and if my partner's not, like, I don't know that this can continue.
Yeah.
And I think if you've invested in something like a marriage, it is worth doing some exploration right. of how do we seek repair? Can we make shifts that make this feasible for right. us?
Because if you do end up getting divorced, you know, if that becomes the pattern or the what ends up happening, but you still have the same patterns in relationship set up, whoever you find next is it's good. This like the same things are going to happen, right?
Yes.
You're headed for this same thing over and over. If you haven't fixed these, like, you know, relational issues from the beginning.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so again, sometimes this before work is realizing like it isn't when we're on the brink of divorce,
right.
which that is also a yeah, real thing.
That's a good time to show up as well, right?
Yes, to counseling.
Ideally, yes. though, you don't have to get there, or at least you're already in care when you do get there, right?
Yes. And so to me, this before work is I'm seeing cracks in our relationship that could become chasms.
Yeah.
How do we start seeing if we can fill the cracks, like, repair this foundation that we want to have before it is so crumbled it's too much to bring back together?
Yeah, that's good. I think that's really helpful. Proactive. How many times are we going to say proactive? You know, I wonder though, you've set up a little bit of a tension, I guess though here, because relational struggles are isolating, right? Yes. Can be isolating.
Yes.
A lot, most of the times are, you would say probably, right?
Yeah, I think it's how you're choosing to be in that
yeah.
struggle.
So I guess it can be isolating and we want to search for, you know, third parties, unbiased third parties, a licensed counselor. But so how do you go about receiving support? Like, let's assume you are seeing a counselor. How do you still work within your support system to receive the support you need, even alongside seeking therapeutic work?
So how I help my clients is we talk about what voices are they wanting to listen to.
Oh, okay.
So you may have two people who are your best friends. You've known them since high school and one from your very first job.
Yeah.
Most of my clients can say, I'll listen to what friend A yeah. has to say. They're level-headed. They can see the bigger picture.
Right.
Friend B is my ride or die. they're going to take, like,
they will stab somebody for you, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
And so right. learning, yeah. you can seek support. You can say, I'm having a hard time in this relationship to friend B.
Yeah.
And how are we setting up boundaries for the work that you're trying to do by filtering the voices that you're going to choose to listen to?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really helpful. So then you're receiving support in the places that you need support, but it's so tempting to go with friend B and be like, just talking a bunch of trash, right? And like having them help you talk trash and like receiving that sort of, we like that kind of,
validation.
Yeah. Yeah. But even the negative and the, like, you know, you can kind of stew in that sort of gossipy sort of, yeah.
Yes. Language. I think the reality is we are all human. And even when we know friend A is going to be healthy, there are times that I'm like, I just need friend B to jump in and stew with me as long as I can get myself out of that. Right. So like grace and kindness to be a human and know that sometimes we do want that validation. And I think my role as a clinician, right, when I think what people don't think about in therapy is all the peripheral people we talk about.
Yeah.
And so I, especially like if most clients have a couple of extra people in their life that we have talked enough about that I can name and talk about in therapy of like, hey, you have told me that Curry really always has crazy ideas. Are we going to listen to Curry?
That's fair. I receive that.
And so that I, as I'm a part of someone's story and walking with them, it's just being a gentle reminder of like, oh no, you've told me about the people in your life. And so I'm going to remind you who you're seeking support from as you move through some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I think another really helpful thing about being in these early stages of considering what is the status of my relationship, being in therapy is building relationship with someone who's going to remind you about coping skills. It's going to talk to you about self-care, that you are your healthiest, most optimal self whenever you make a decision about the state of the relationship moving forward.
Yeah, and you do it in a way where you know you're kind of thinking in your right mind and not making a rash decision, right?
Yes.
I've thought this through. I'm whole. Mm-hmm. And I can really like, then I can make decisions from wholeness rather than brokenness.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I can make a decision from health versus hurt.
Right. Yeah.
And I think sometimes, as we've talked about, those negative feelings and emotions feel too much. And so I just want to like fracture this relationship so I don't have to keep feeling this way.
Yes.
And not thinking about the other emotions that you're going to have to feel if you choose to completely fracture a relationship.
It seems like it'll be a way to get rid of all those things, not realizing how much harder it's going to be when you do fracture. Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. That's very helpful. When we talk about sort of being proactive, I think it's super important. What are some of those like maybe fissures in relationships that you've seen? Like what would be something to somebody to be like, okay, this is at a point where I probably need to seek help. Like what sort of things would you be looking for? Is there not an extensive list, but just sort of a, yeah.
I mean, I think so often it's realizing that a pattern that has worked previously doesn't feel the same to you. Like, or I've been fine with my partner not engaging in this way. And I'm to a point, it actually bothers me now. Hmm. And I don't have the language to express that in a way currently that my partners, you know, we don't have the language to engage in healthy conflict. How could I work with a therapist that would help me maybe learn some new tools and skills to engage in conflict in a different way? I think anytime there is feelings of not being seen or heard is one of those places that like it was okay until it wasn't. And I think most of the things I would put on this, you know, made up list kind of fall in that category of, for whatever reason, a pattern, a behavior, ongoing interactions don't feel good anymore. And you can acknowledge we've always operated in this way. And I don't even know what has shifted. Is it that we had a child?
Yeah, that's a big one.
There was a job loss. Yeah. Any of that, you know, that list of like life stressors. Yeah. Sometimes it's a life stressor, you know, shining a spotlight on something that was probably already starting to crack. And an added stressor just made that crack deeper, right? COVID.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, we've had some stuff going on. And now that we're home together all the time,
yeah,
we can no longer avoid these things that we were able to avoid. And yeah. So I think anytime you're feeling like my relationship isn't working in the way I would hope for it to work, is a completely appropriate time to seek therapy.
Yeah. Okay. That's really helpful. I think that's good. I think people need to hear that, you know, because I think it's easy to sort of stay stuck in those patterns and feel that resentment and building up over years of resentment. And it just gets really, really hard to unwind.
In marriage specifically, I think people are scared of the stigma of starting therapy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And if we start therapy, there is something the matter with us.
Yeah.
We, you know, like there is still such stigma around mental health.
Yeah.
And I think in marriage in particular. And so it is a gift to you and your partner to be able to say, like, we aren't functioning in the best way we can. Are we willing to do some work to try to address some of this?
Yeah.
And it's, again, proactive work.
Yeah.
If we are doing proactive work, relational work, before we are at the point of, I hate your guts and can no longer be in a relationship with you, there is more potential for healing in that relationship. And I understand that, like, you may be hearing that and rolling your eyes and being like, duh. And one of the hills I'm willing to die on is if the benefit of starting therapy for whatever is happening in your life, when it's just a little discomfort or uncomfortable versus my world is on fire.
Yeah.
Also an appropriate time to go. But when we can be proactive,
mm-hmm.
it's just helpful.
Yeah. I mean, small flames are easier to put out than big flames.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. What about finding somebody to do that work with, like, especially relational work? I feel like we've talked some about, you know, finding a therapist, but is there something in particular to look for in, like, a therapist for relational work?
Yeah. I mean, some people, if it is solely relational, and probably more couples work, but, like, there are certain trainings, like, Gottman training is, like, well-respected, like, marriage counseling.
Okay.
So that would be important to look for. I think something to steer away from, and this is my belief, so take it or leave it, but a therapist who is telling you how to make a choice and what choice to make. I've had clients who were like, oh yeah, my therapist told me, like, you need to get divorced.
Whoa. That's gutsy. Yeah.
It is gutsy. Yeah. And I think, like, if you are working with someone who is trying to dictate your life choices, marriage or otherwise,
yeah,
just to be clear,
just in general, blanket statement there.
A mindfulness of, like, this isn't a person that I want, you know, speaking into my life. I also think finding a clinician and how they speak about you and that partner, this is my own bias towards myself. And I'm always really mindful about even reassuring clients of, like, I know that you are talking about this person in our session, and I know that they have good qualities too. That's not why we're here in therapy. And like affirming again and again that they can talk about that person however they need to without worry about how I'm going to perceive them. Like, that's not why we're in therapy. Of course, I'm also a human and I will have some thoughts and feelings about the people in your life. And it is not my place to put judgment on a human I've never met.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yes, I appreciate that. What about like actually, like if you're looking for this sort of work, do you need a licensed marriage and family therapist? Or like, I think there's a lot of confusion around like what that even means and some of this stuff. Does that question?
Yes, I think it's similar to finding a therapist. I don't know that, I think they should be licensed.
Yeah.
And I also think I like the word seasoned.
Okay.
I think sometimes if you are looking to do some relational work, you may want to look at where you are in the season of life. Are you wanting someone in a similar season? Are you wanting someone who has, you know, 10, 20 years of lived experience?
Right.
Are you wanting someone who is more fresh-faced and maybe has like the most recent schooling and education? Even before you start looking, like who do I envision working with? Is it someone that I want to see as a peer? Am I looking towards someone who's going to be like a big sister? Or am I looking for someone who's going to be like a mom to walk me through this process? Sorry to all the men therapists out there. I'm a woman and that's my frame of reference. And so I think even thinking, what gender would I feel comfortable talking about some of these things with? Because in therapy, you talk about the intimate details. You can talk about the intimate details of your life. Will I feel comfortable with this aged person or this gendered person having some of those conversations? And so sometimes I think people are just get on Psychology Today and it's overwhelming to just think about what are the filters or parameters that you want someone to have. Is having a faith background important to you seeking that out? Is not having a faith background important to you seeking that out? Setting for yourself some sort of parameters of like, this is what I'm looking for, because then I think it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
When there's like 200 therapists in your area and you're like, how do I ever pick one?
Right.
What are some, you know, age, gender requirements that would be helpful to kind of like narrow that decision?
But a particular like license isn't necessary, right? I don't have to look for like someone with an LMFT versus an LC. I mean, just all the letters get very...
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
You can do so. Relational work with anybody who's a licensed...
Clinician.
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay. That's super helpful. Do you feel like we covered kind of everything that you wanted to on this?
I think so. I think there's more conversation to be had, and I hope to delve into more of this next week.
Yeah. So the hope for the next episode is that we'll kind of we'll delve into during divorce, like
what that
could look like, what to kind of think about, how to find support, all of that. And then we'll go to post-divorce and talk about, you know, what that looks like, finding support in post-divorce, navigating that. All these stages have, you know, a variety of things to think about and ways you can be proactive in any of these stages.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my hope is that like whoever is listening, you are a human. I Googled before we started that the US divorce rate is still 40-50%. Like you are going to know people who are going to get divorced in your lifetime.
Yeah.
And so my hope is that yes, if this is something you're navigating, it is helpful to you. And that if you have people who are navigating divorce in your life, that there could be some sort of, that it's giving you things to think about how you walk alongside others as they walk a really challenging road.
Yeah. Are you going to be friend A or friend B?
True story.
There's not a value judgment there, you know.
But you know who you are.
That's right. Okay. Awesome. Well, I think we covered the first part well. So,
okay. I hope you found today's conversation helpful as you think about the challenges that might face you if you're considering or in the early stages of potentially moving towards divorce. If you have questions or comments, I'd love to connect on social media at counselingwith.com on Instagram and Facebook, or you can send me an email to my website at counselingwith.com.